in blue that you will continue to pray for me for whatever time I stand before you. It's been a wonderful experience for me to be here with you. I thank you for your hospitality, your kindness, as it always is, and it's just a blessing for me to have the opportunity to be here with you. I thank you for that, and you pray that God will honor that visitation with his holy presence, because if he does not, I can speak words, but they will never touch the heart. But if he does, we'll be glad as we leave here tonight. So thank you for that sweet prayer, Brother Paul, and I ask a continued interest in your prayers. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 18, "Behold Israel after the flesh." Now that simply means that if you will look at the nation of Israel from a natural standpoint, then you can see a picture of spiritual Israel from a spiritual standpoint. Behold Israel after the flesh. That is, look at them. You know, the Bible said these things were given unto us for ensamples and examples. And he goes back and he begins to remind us of those things that took place with national Israel in their journeys through the Old Testament. And it was quite a journey for them wherever they went, because they were so hard-headed and rebellious. Now, the word hard-headed is not used, but he said, your head's like brass, so that's pretty hard. But as nation of Israel went through all the things that they did and those experiences that they did, they're good lessons for us and pointed to something far greater than what they ever saw back there. And today, they, even in our day and time, are far above us, and yet there are some things that are plain to us, and we can rejoice in those things as scriptures that are fulfilled. Yeah. I don't have the power to preach the gospel and sanctify it to the heart of the believer, but God does possess that power.
Amen.
And as God sanctifies his word to the heart of the believer, you and I today can feel the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
Now, don't tell me that the gospel does not possess power, because Paul says it does.
That's right.
Romans chapter 1 and beginning of verse 18, we'll back up just a little. Paul says, "For I am a debtor to the Greek and the barbarian, to the wise and the unwise. For as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you which are at Rome also. For it is the power of God unto salvation and to everyone that believeth."
Amen.
And then he says this, "To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith."
Right.
Not from faith to unbelief, but from faith to faith. Now the ministry that's been called of God, these men who labor among you that sit here tonight and others who are not here, and others who have outstripped us and gone along, with their abilities, God-given abilities, their first obligation and is and was and will be, as others come along, to lift up the Son of God.
Amen.
Lift up the Son of God. Now, I don't want you to forget that particular verse of Scripture. Jesus was so impressed with that verse of Scripture, right in the middle of the third chapter of John, verse 14, Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, I want you to go back with me for just a minute to the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. And here we find a time when the nation of Israel was journeying in the wilderness, and their experience was that they had been blessed, they had been encouraged in the Lord, they had been victorious over their enemies. But the Bible said in verse 4, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass or go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." You know, I've preached a lot of places. Two or three weeks ago, I made a trip or two to Texas and up here and been with you all and was blessed to be in your midst and others around the country. But you know, most of the places I go, people are discouraged. Yeah. Sad to say. Yeah. People are discouraged.
Right.
More especially the ministry is discouraged. Yeah. We're discouraged. I get discouraged. I stay more on that side of the line than I do the other. For the simple reason, the condition our country's in. The mindset of people, and even the mindset of some of our people.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, and I'll be gone in a little bit, but you understand that even the faithfulness of our people and dedication of our people is not what it once was.
That's right. Yeah, right.
It's not there. And it's not just in one locality, but it is something that exist all over the country. Wherever you go, you find that. Not only among our people, and I know more about ours than anybody else, but the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Fort Payne, his office is right across the street from mine. He's a good man. I've known him for years. And he comes over and sits down with me every once in a while. We have a long talk. And I said, "Charles," I said, "how's the church doing over there?" He said, "Well, Ricky said it's just up and down." He said, "Part of them's up in the mountain and part of them down on the coast." And, you know, I've thought about that a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're going through some of the same experiences. You know, we see the apathy of God's people. We see the apathy of the world in general. Well, I want to tell you, that's not a new thing.
Right.
Right here is one example of it, and there's others. I won't belabor you with that, but there was a great deal of discouragement among the people. Now, notice as they began to go this route around the Edomites, the people spake against God and against Moses. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, it's bad enough to speak against God's man.
Right.
And you better be careful what you say about your preacher. Hear me? You better be careful about it. It's bad enough for them to speak against God's man, but greater than that, they speak against God. And what a terrible sin that was, to speak against God. You know, I don't take criticism too well. Never have. There's plenty you can criticize me about, but I never have handled it too well. I told somebody one day, you know, there's some folks when they go home from church, they've got fried preacher for dinner, and they've got baked preacher for supper, and boiled preacher for breakfast, and you know what I mean, it's just about my preacher. He didn't do like I wanted him to. I want to tell you, you know what I told him? I said, I'm going to fix y'all. I'm going to pray the Lord call you to preach.
Right.
Amen. I want the Lord to call you to preach.
Right.
And see how you handle all this. Now, I don't know whether you have that problem or not, but I'll tell you, I saw it exist. And the people spake against God, and they spake against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? The promises of God had paled to the background now. We read about an old song, and the words of a song, great is thy faithfulness. Well, I want to tell you right now, they've forgotten that. They've lost sight of the faithfulness of God. And rather, we see their unfaithfulness. In spite of what they were, we see their unfaithfulness and God's undying and undying promise of faithfulness toward them, even in their rebellion.
Right.
The people spake against God and spake against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Their soul despised even the manna that God sent. Now, God was very long-suffering.
Right.
Because if it had been me, I'd have said, Lord, take them out. Take them all. However you do it, doesn't make any difference. Take them out. They're unthankful, they're unholy, they're rebellious. They spoke against me and they spoke against you. You'd be perfectly justified in taking them all out. Friend, don't think too much of yourself, because God would perfectly be justified if he doomed you to hell forever.
Right.
You hear me? Yes, sir. He'd be perfect and just if he banished us from his presence. But because of his faithfulness.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That will never take place.
Amen.
Because of the faithfulness of his promise. Now,
amen.
After all this, the Bible said the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. I did a word study on that word fiery. And that simply meant that the venom that these serpents possessed sent a fiery sensation through the body. And it was so venomous, so poisonous, that many people would die from it. Not just because of the venom, but because of the fear that they saw. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What a sad story. Can you put this picture in the right kind of frame? Here's all of these serpents, the snakes, that God sent.
Right.
Now, somebody said, where'd it come from? Listen, God sent them. Somebody said, God doesn't kill people? Give me a break. Don't tell him he doesn't kill people. He sent these serpents, and much people died because of what God did. He killed a whole army in the Red Sea. Ananias and Sapphira died because of what they did over there in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. Listen to this. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And now comes the fullness of the circumstance. Then the people came to Moses, the man they just talked about. Better be careful. People came to Moses. What did they say? We've sinned. Really? We've sinned. But we've spoken against the Lord, that's the truth. And against thee. Now, just all we want you to do is pray for us. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses was a better man than I am. I'd have said, I won't utter one word. But the Bible says Moses prayed for the people.
Yeah.
What a man. What a constitution this man had. What a forward look he had. What a faithful servant he was to pray for the people that accused him. Look at that. Moses prayed for the people. And here's what the Lord said to do. He said, Moses, make you a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass. Go through the Bible sometime. Look at Brother Denny how many times the word it shall come to pass is used in the Bible. It'll astound you. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, that is the serpent, shall live. Now, if I can prove that all those of Israel that looked on the serpent, if I can prove that benefited all of Israel, I can prove that the death of Jesus benefited all the world. Think about that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But you can't do that. Jesus was the remedy, all right, and he's fixing to tell you about that. But he made this serpent and he set it on a pole and he said, those that are bitten, when they look on it, they'll live. If I can prove one, I can prove the other. I'm going to tell you, it benefited those that looked, but it didn't even benefit all of Israel, did it?
No.
Who did benefit? Those who were bitten.
That's right.
Those who were bitten. That's all. Moses made a serpent of brass. Kind of, why do they use brass? Well, they had gold in the construction of the tabernacle. Silver, made silver trumpets. Brass is an alloy metal.
Right.
It's made up of zinc and copper. One of them is highly perishable. The other is highly non-perishable. And that typifies better than anything in the Bible the two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a nature that was eternal as God is, and yet he had a nature that could die. He had a nature that could sympathize with you. The serpent of brass. And that serpent of brass, he says, Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
Amen.
Brother, I'll tell you right now, this was a particular group of people that lived.
Right.
It wasn't universal. It wasn't to the Edomite. It wasn't to the Perizzite. It wasn't to any otherite except the Israelite, and only the Israelite that had been bitten.
That's right.
Now, if I can prove that this serpent on a pole, and remember, the remedy looked almost like the sickness, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
The remedy looked almost like the sickness. Here was the serpent, and that was what caused the sickness.
Right.
All right? Yeah, there was the serpent up there. Lord, why you want to make a serpent? Because I'm going to tell you, they can recognize what that serpent is. And I want to tell you, when Jesus died, a man died. He looked like you.
That's right. Amen.
He looked like you. And I want to tell you, he didn't die for mankind in general.
That's right.
But he died for his. He died for those. And I'm going to tell you, they are bitten. They have a work in them that comes directly by the work of the Holy Spirit, independently of the gospel, independently of your will, independently of everything else in the world. God does that in a way, and in his time, he does it on his own.
Right. Amen.
And he doesn't need you to help him along the way.
That's right.
I get nauseated sometimes with some of these preachers that have the idea that God needs them. I got news for you, my friend. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need anybody else. I've said this before, and I don't mean it. I think Dr. Graham was one of the finest people alive. You can say what you want to about him, but I'm going to tell you, I think he's as fine a moral man that ever lived. But a man told me one time, he said, I tell you, Dr. Graham's going to have more stars in his crown than anybody I know. And I said, no. I said, I tell you, I've saved just as many souls as Billy Graham has. Y'all pray over that. I've saved just as many as he did. He didn't save none, I didn't either. You see, that's the point I'm making. But when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, like that serpent was lifted up on the pole, there was the remedy for the sickness of sin.
Amen. That's right.
And until you see that remedy, oftentimes it doesn't make sense to you. Oftentimes things just really doesn't come into focus until that. But I'm telling you this today, that Jesus thought it was important enough to mention it to Nicodemus, didn't he?
Yeah.
He thought it was important enough to mention it to Nicodemus in this great message here in John chapter 3. Listen to it now. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this man came to Jesus by night. Brother, I want to tell you, he is in the dark in a lot of ways. You hear me?
Yeah.
He was in the dark. He went into Jesus at night. I got a lot of ideas about it. I think he didn't want anybody to see going talking to him.
Right.
His own nation, I mean, they would have accused him of everything. But I'll tell you, he wasn't in the dark about there was a Christ to come. He was in the dark about who this man was.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Teacher, you hear that? We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Never said, we know that thou art the Son of God. He said, we know you're a teacher come from God. Listen to this. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Amen.
Well, that was the truth. That was the truth. And Jesus answered and said unto him, listen now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see
right. The
kingdom of God.
Amen.
He cannot see it. All right? Don't stop that.
That's right.
Nicodemus, looking at it from a natural standpoint, said, how can a man be born when he's old? That's where his mind was.
Right.
In the natural sense, in the natural process. How can a man be born when he's old? Good question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, this man wasn't out of the water. He was just blinded to a knowledge of who Christ was. Listen to that. Don't get ahead of it. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God."
Yeah.
Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. You know what he's saying there? Except a man be born of water, and he calls water even the Spirit. Even the Spirit. Except a man be born of water. Now Nicodemus could understand that. But now he says, and this simply means even the Spirit. Now listen. He says it like this. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says this, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation."
That's right.
All right. "But the kingdom of God is within you."
Uh-huh.
You see? The kingdom of God is within you. Now we talk about the church being a kingdom, and it is. We talk about up yonder being a kingdom, and it is. But I want to tell you, to you who have been bitten, to you who have had the spiritual birth of being born again. Listen, Jesus said you must be born again, but he never gave one instruction how to get born again.
Right.
Not one. But he told you how it come. He said it's even by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Even by the Spirit. He says now, except a man be born of the water, even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the truth. I'll tell you right now, I believe today that the kingdom of God, that you're here tonight, I believe the kingdom of God is within you. It is a part of you.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 15 says it like this. You notice the terminology that he uses. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You see what he's saying? That the kingdom of God is within you.
Yeah.
It doesn't come when you can see it. It didn't come just like it comes in the church and we see this visible or militant kingdom. But when you are born again, there is a kingdom that comes to you.
Yeah.
It's in you. And that kingdom is there. You're born into that kingdom by one Spirit. For by one Spirit, listen now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit, not by one water.
Right.
Every time you see the word baptism in the Bible, don't go to water. Because there's plenty of baptisms there that are not any water involved in.
That's right.
For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body.
Yeah.
Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of that one spiritual drink. The kingdom of God is within you.
Amen.
You see. He didn't give you any instruction how to get born again, but he told you how it comes. Listen to it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone.
Uh-huh.
Everyone. That is born of the Spirit. Let me tell you right now, what's he telling us there? That everyone's born just alike.
Amen. That's right.
Everyone born just alike. How did Abraham get the new birth? He got it just like Paul got it. You
right.
Say, the wind blows where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it coming or whether it goeth. So everyone, not just the adult, but the infant also.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now, somebody said, well, he's got... he's reached the age of accountability. Now, where that comes from, I don't know. It's not in the Bible.
No.
You search if you will, you won't find it. It's not there. Do you know what? That infant in its mother's womb, God is able to, like John the Baptist, cause that infant to leap for joy.
Yes, sir.
At the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God is able to do that. And God does do that. And I'll tell you today that the very essence of the Spirit of God in the new birth reaches through the hardened, stony heart and brings us into a oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that one Spirit, we're baptized by that one Spirit into one body. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter whether you're bond or free. And we've all been made to drink of that one spiritual drink.
Amen.
And that spiritual drink is the Spirit of God in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I believe there's folks who've been baptized, members of the church, their name on the roll. I don't believe they've ever entered the kingdom of God.
Right.
You can throw rocks at me if you want to, but I'm going to tell you that the kingdom of God is that which gives you rest, peace, and joy. You don't get that just by coming to church. The Lord Jesus does that.
Right.
You hear me? He gives you something in the new birth that you don't get at church. You don't get at home. You don't get in the classroom. He does that as he said, they shall all be taught.
Amen.
Taught of God. All of those that are his, all of them shall be taught of God. Not taught by the preacher, not taught by the gospel, but shall be taught of God. All right, listen, I've got very long. The Bible says here, the wind bloweth where it listeth, so everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, and this is the question that all ask, how can these things be? That's just beyond. He couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. There was no way for him to do it. And now he says this, and Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Behold Israel after the flesh. Look at them. You ought to know. You're a Pharisee. You're a part of the Sanhedrin. Why don't you know these things? You asking me this? Thou art a master of Israel, knowest not these things? Listen to what he said. I've told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. You know, it's hard to believe that there was a man in heaven that came down from heaven, and the same man that came down from heaven is at the same time still in heaven.
Right.
I can't put my mind around that, but I'm going to tell you that's what he says.
Yeah.
Right here. Yes, sir. Right here. And then he says, my text. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm going to tell you, he's telling us that just like that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness and was the remedy for their condition then, Jesus Christ also must be lifted up on the cross. Jesus must be lifted up on the cross. That's what he's talking about right here in this particular verse of Scripture. Let me go with it. Hang on with me for about 9 minutes and listen to it now. All right, here we go. He said in verse 19, chapter 1 of Colossians, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross.
Right. Amen.
His cross. By him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that was sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled.
Amen.
Let's go to another place. When he says here, he says this, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. He's not talking about water baptism here, but he's talking about the baptism of the Spirit.
Spirit of God. For by one Spirit you're baptized into one body, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him. How? Through water? No. Through the preacher? No. Through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead.
Right.
Get it, brother? And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. Hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
His cross. You see, I'll tell you, we sing that old song sometimes. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Well, I'll tell you, you may have one, but you can't bear his. You can't bear his. He bore his. And it's called his cross. It's not called my cross, but it's called his cross. And he bore that. He bore that in every regard. And then he comes back and he begins to tell us here that as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Don't go wrong. I can tell you he's talking about the lifting up of Jesus on Golgotha. But there's another application that can be made for that. That you can lift up the Lord Jesus in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 beginning with verse 17. He says this. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise, and where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching.
That's right.
To save them that believe.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something, brother. He didn't say foolish preaching now.
Right.
There's some of that around. There's some foolish preaching around. He said by the foolishness of preaching.
Uh-huh.
You ever had anybody tell you what you believe was foolishness?
Yeah.
I have. Yeah, I have. I've had folks tell me, well, man, if God doesn't give everybody a chance, he wouldn't be just. Let me tell you something, brother. Salvation's not a chance system. Salvation's not a chance system. Every sinner that's ever been saved was saved not by chance, but on purpose.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Give your will. You've got to will yourself into the kingdom of God. I want to tell you something, my friend. Somebody said, well, God wants, he's a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He won't save you against your will. Let me tell you something, brother. Bless your heart, just as sure as heaven is happy. Every sinner that's ever been saved was saved against his will. Saved against his will. God willed against the will of the sinner and made him a willing character in the day of his power.
That's right.
In the day of his power he did. And the gospel is the revelation of that.
Yeah.
My God, how that needs to be preached.
That's right.
That needs to be preached. We can lift him up in that way. You know, I never will forget one time. I missed hole this year, and I got to close. Now, this thing got too big now. Brother, I don't know where to go with it, but I'm just a good place to quit right here. You know what? I was one time preaching down South Georgia, and so at the end of the service, there was an old colored preacher there named Arthur Brundage. He was an old man then. But the building was full down there, and Brother Darty and me and several others of us were down there when I was a young man. This had been between 50 and 60 years ago. But he was an old man back then. And he was right in the heart of the civil rights movement, everything you know about that. And so dark a day as that was. But anyway, there we wound up the association that Sunday morning. at lunchtime, and old Brother Will Green got up and he said, "Now, brother," he said, "the associational meeting's over." He said, "Everybody wants to hear Brother Arthur Bundage preach." He said, "Raise your hand." Well, from Alabama, I thought they'll not want to hear him preach, but every hand in the house went up. We'll hear this man. And after lunch, the old man come in the back of the house with his head bowed low, and Brother Green took him by the hand and woke him up in the stand, and he stood there just a minute as if he'd lost all of his voice, and he said, "Brethren, when the Lord our God called this poor sinner to preach his gospel, I couldn't read nor write a word, but," he said, "the Lord said, preach my word." He said it was like a vision came down. I was like Jeremiah. I had a stammering tongue, but he says that as he let that great vision down, he said, he opened the book and he said, "Preach my word." And he said, "For the last 49 years, I've been able to preach the word of God. And I'll tell you right now, I wish to God I could preach one sermon like that old man preached. That day, heaven came down and joy filled my soul. Jesus Christ was lifted up in the elements of my mind, my heart, and my soul." And there were shouts began to go up from that auditorium as that old man began to preach. Oh, listen, my friends, today, if you today have been bitten, if you today have felt the very essence of the Spirit of God in your heart, I've got some good news for you, that you're in and a part of the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's right.
By the Spirit of God. Now, somebody said, "Well, what does that mean?" That means this: since you're a part of the kingdom of God in an eternal way, why not be a part of the kingdom of God in a militant way?
Yeah, right.
In the church.
Right.
You see, in the church. That's how we honor God. That's how we honor God. Now, close with this thought. And I've enjoyed preaching tonight as good as I have in a long time, I'm going to tell you. And I ain't through. But I'm going to quit. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. If you're here tonight and say, "Well, Brother Rick," listen, I've heard this all my, "Brother Ricky, I'm just not good enough to be a member of the old Baptist church." Let me tell you something, brother. I know that.
Right.
I know that. You're not good enough. I'm not either. But I want to tell you one thing. We've been made good enough.
Amen.
We've been made good enough. We've been made something that we're not by nature. We've been made vessels fit for the master's use.
Yes, sir.
And those vessels of righteousness. That's what you are today.
Uh-huh.
The vessel of righteousness, because of the imputed righteousness of the Son of God. And tonight, my friends, you say, "Well, I'm just not good enough. I know I'm just poor." And I've heard every excuse you can think of. I have. I've heard every excuse. Now, my wife's uncle, his dad was an old Baptist preacher, joined the church when he was 98 years old. I baptized him in a swimming pool because he couldn't walk. And, you know, I brought him up out of the water. And you know what he said? He said, "You know, I would have done this last year." Thank you, my God bless you.